Welcome to Lead Follow, a podcast for pastors and leaders, hosted by MCUSA Executive Director Glenn Guyton. Join Glenn as he talks to folks across the denomination to help equip today's leaders who are leading while following Jesus.
Hello, my name is Glenn Guyton, and during this season of Lead Follow, we will be exploring ways to reimagine church. Today, I am pleased to welcome Phil Hellmuth, who will be discussing community engagement beyond the walls. For the past 3.5 years, Phil has served with Mennonite Disaster Service as the Disaster Response Coordinator for Southern Louisiana. He is currently the MDS Coordinator for the Bridge and New Build Project in West Virginia. Phil is the former Executive Director of Development and Church Relations for Eastern Mennonite University and is a member of Parkview Mennonite Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Welcome, Phil.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here.
You've done a lot, and also you're on the executive board of Mennonite Church USA.
I am.
So you're one of those retired people that does everything, huh?
Yes, I have. Some have defined it as failing at retirement.
Failing at retirement.
Okay. I am enjoying what I'm doing.
Okay, that's good. It's good that we enjoy our lives and that we continue to serve a purpose. But today we're talking about reimagination. And so reimagining an organization involves transforming how it operates, thinks, and achieves its goals. It's about taking a fresh, innovative approach to every aspect of the organization to enhance its efficiency, adaptability, and overall success. So now, Phil, if you could reimagine anything in Mennonite Church USA, what would it be and why?
Well, the one thing that I think of right offhand is that I think it is important for us to simplify our theology and to keep it simple.
Okay.
Because when we attempt to complicate or expand our theology too much, we end up excluding.
Ooh, okay.
And so when I think about reimagining with a simple theology, I think of loving God and loving our neighbor.
Ooh, all right.
So that calls for, in my opinion, a radical inclusivity.
A radical inclusivity, okay.
And that means that all are welcome. Mm. So that's part of what it brings it down to me.
Okay.
I mean, it's not just the denomination or the congregation, but in my opinion, it begins with me.
As the individual.
As an individual. To discover for myself and to live into, what does it mean for me to love God and also love my neighbor?
Yeah.
And that's hard work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why do you think we make things so complex? Because, again, you're on the executive board of Mennonite Church USA, and we have a pretty complex structure organization. So why do you think we have so much complexity?
Well, I think sometimes what we try to do is to please everybody
in
the process.
Okay.
And the reality is that what the heart of the gospel is all about is simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's loving God.
Loving God.
And loving our neighbor.
Yeah, I think it's a scripture that talks about that.
I think too.
but we forget it sometimes as we go about our business. So your take on simplifying or reimagining church is really just keeping it simple.
Keeping it simple. And recognizing that if we follow the teachings of Jesus and the model of Jesus, Jesus really related to those on the margins.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if we make things complex so that we can have jobs, right? If things were too simple, what would we do with all these institutions and all these boards and all these other things?
That's true. That's true.
So you do some really important work. Through your work with MDS, Mennonite Disaster Service, you've seen the importance of church involvement in the community. That's part of loving your neighbor during crisis. So what are some practical ways you think that we can roll this out just beyond our Sunday services and engage our communities?
Sure. Mennonite Disaster Service, for me, has taught me a lot about the church's involvement in community. And if I can share a little bit of my experience in Louisiana in relation to church, Mennonite Disaster Service, of course, is made up of many different Anabaptist groups, okay, from the Amish to the Old Order Mennonites to the Conservative Mennonites to MCUSA.
Okay.
And all of those volunteers work together side by side. That's one aspect, okay, of it. The second aspect that I think gets to your question is that when we go into a community, we attempt to engage partners with us.
Okay.
And one of those partners often is includes churches. Mm-hmm. So, for example, down in Louisiana, we had a church that hosted us, the Jennings Church of Christ. And they exercised extravagant Southern hospitality.
Okay.
The real sense. I mean, they did things for us that typically do not happen on MDS projects, such as the local church provided, for the first 3 months that we were there, they provided all the meals.
Oh, wow.
And not only that, there was a member or a couple in the congregation who did our laundry.
Oh, wow.
So every day they would come in and announce to the weekly volunteers, which doesn't happen on other projects.
Right.
They announced that they were doing laundry. Anybody that had dirty laundry could bring it and put it in a bag, and they would take it home, and they would do laundry.
Wow.
And they did that for 3.5 years.
3.5 years?
3.5 years.
Wow.
So that was this couple's ministry.
Yeah.
But the congregation was involved in bringing in meals on... every Wednesday night, even after the first 3 months, they made meals for the church and for our volunteers every Wednesday night.
Oh, wow.
And then in addition to that, it wasn't uncommon for them in the evenings to bring a dish of Southern flair to give us a taste. And they saw that as a way of sharing with us a bit of themselves.
Oh, wow.
But it was love.
Mm-hmm.
And in the mornings, the pastor, 4 mornings a week, would come in and sit at the table with us and visit with the volunteers. So we were, they literally saw us as an extension of their ministry as a congregation. So then we had Amish and Old Orders who don't drive.
Yeah.
So we needed drivers. So they volunteered to drive our equipment to the job sites.
Oh, wow.
Well, then because of how they expanded their ministry in partnership with us, they invited another congregation to join them, another Church of Christ to join them, and provide helping to provide meals and drivers. And what we didn't realize is the impact of that partnership on us and on the community.
Yeah.
And just a quick side note,
go ahead.
In
the
end, in March of 2022, they took a vote to merge as congregations.
Oh, really?
And I didn't know what was behind it.
Right.
But they took a vote. It was a 92 or 94% vote. And after it passed, the pastor came to me and said, "You need to know what's behind this. And it's the fact that you included us in your ministry."
Wow.
"And we saw you as an extension of our ministry."
Yeah.
And so the response in the congregation, they had 70 between the two congregations.
Right.
They had 70 people that attended church.
Wow.
On Sunday mornings, different locations, they came together, and the attendance went to an average of 120.
Oh, wow. So everybody, for the most part, came.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there, you know, in terms of the question about practical ways that churches can extend their impact, is through partnership.
Through partnership.
Interfaith engagement is what I would call it.
Well, I like you said you included us. I think that's a really important statement. Now, so when they were preparing the meals and washing your clothes, did they ask you what your theological interpretations were? But did they have membership like standards that you had to follow to work on the project?
No, not really. But it was interesting. It was interesting that they saw that as their ministry. Yeah. They wore out their washing machine.
Yeah.
And they had to buy a new one.
Wow.
And they did it with generosity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of lessons there. I mean, it's a lot of lessons. You know, you included us. I think that's a very powerful statement that we could, I mean, as we think about reimagining church, and it's nothing new, right?
So, no.
Sometimes I think reimagining just means going back to what the basics are and simplifying what we do, how we do it. And you point out two powerful things, loving God, loving your neighbor. That's part of the great commandment, right? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I just wonder why we get away from that. But do you think, is it something about like a crisis that allows us to do this, that we just can't do in our regular everyday churchy life?
You know, I would say that crisis often provides opportunities for us to be able to respond in partnerships and in being able to be responsive to the individual needs within our community. And I would say another one locally here in Harrisonburg during COVID. Mm-hmm. We became aware of the need for masks in this community.
Yeah.
We became aware of the need for gowns for nurses and first responders. We made those out of Tyvek.
Oh.
But what we did is we began with our local congregation, mm-hmm. inviting volunteers to sew masks.
Okay.
And then it expanded, and others began to find out about it, and we invited others from other congregations in the community. And so we had other Mennonite churches, we had Methodists, we had Baptists, we had folks from the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church. We had folks from across the mountain that said, we want to be a part of this.
Oh, wow.
But the partnership just continued to expand. And I have no idea how many volunteers became involved because the word began to spread.
Right.
And so, you know, it's again a crisis mm-hmm. that provided the opportunity. And it is through that I honestly believe that we are able to see God at work.
Yeah.
I call them God moments.
God moments, all right. And we should be looking for those, I think, as the body of Christ, those God moments.
Well, let me just push you out on that
a little bit.
Because my personal feeling is that as I have worked in crisis situations, uh-huh. I have seen God moments, and I have come to the point mm-hmm. where I expect them.
You expect them, okay.
I expect them.
Yeah.
And there are times I don't know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, there are God moments that reinforce that God is indeed among us in the midst of our response.
Yeah. Man, I think that's amazing, and those are things. What part of it I think that's important is the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like we should expect God to show up.
Yeah. But we don't know when.
We don't know when, but we should expect them, right? I mean, that's even as you think about Advent. That's really what Advent means. It's expectant waiting. I think we have these church traditions that we've really forgotten what the basis of them are. We just, it's Advent, let's light some candles. But no, it's like, hey, we're waiting on something. We're waiting on a miracle of God. And so as you think about these partnerships where you're like, we're gonna expand this to the city, or how would you recommend someone start these partnerships? How do you find these partnerships to create that kind of movement that you're talking about?
Well, I think part of it is preparedness in being sensitive to what the needs are around us. And as we begin to move towards those is to particularly look at what others are doing and find out how they're doing it, what they're doing, and find out where the holes are. What are the needs? Because when I go into a community, one of the first things I do is ask community leaders, mayors, In Louisiana, it was police jurors mm-hmm. who are county supervisors. It might even be going to state representatives
okay.
and saying to them, tell me what's happening.
Yeah.
And then finding partners, other faith organizations or churches about what they're doing.
Yeah.
And where are the holes? Mm-hmm. And knowing our niche, knowing what we can contribute. So for a Mennonite disaster service, our strength is providing volunteers. While other organizations and churches might be providing money.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or meals.
Yes.
Or washing clothes.
Washing clothes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can all contribute. I mean, that's a great story. Like, you may not, you know, I think about MDS and what you all do, and I'm like, well, I'm not really a carpenter, so I don't know if I could be helpful. But I could wash some clothes now.
You can wash clothes.
I can wash some clothes. Yeah. I can cook a good Southern meal, too. What did y'all have? What did they feed y'all? Do you remember anything?
Well, I don't remember anything right offhand. That, but we did have a lot of crawfish.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah,
yeah.
So crawfish was jambalaya,
boudin.
Yeah. Well, okay. I didn't quite get on to boudin.
You didn't like boudin, okay.
But anyway,
okay, it's two kinds. You know, it's the white boudin and it's the red boudin.
And then there's boudin balls.
The boudin balls, yeah. Okay.
I can handle the boudin balls.
Okay. But they took care of you. So, I mean, I think that's important for us. You know, you think about, so find out where the holes are,
yeah.
Which means that the title of this we talked about was community engagement beyond the walls. So
yeah.
You have to get out in your community and start asking questions.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? And I know at least, I live in San Antonio, but I know most municipalities, counties have some kind of disaster volunteer service where they will alert you. You can volunteer
sure.
and fulfill a role. So,
well, and there are other kinds of things happening in the community mm-hmm. for churches to participate.
Yeah,
and that is, you know, for example, immigrant programs.
Yeah,
homelessness. Mm-hmm. There are opportunities for us to plug into those and partner with others in the process.
Yeah. I think the message that I get from that is that often we think, well, what can we do? We're a small congregation. You were talking, these two congregations are like 70 people, right?
70 people, yeah.
But, I mean, small doesn't mean that you're helpless, that there's a lot you can do. Again, finding your niche, find out what the holes are, and then just doing it. I mean, because I know Mennonites can cook. Now that's one thing I know we can do is cook, and finding out what we can do, and then the partnerships is where the strength comes.
Right.
When you bring in more and more people from the community.
Well, and I would say that I have found the partnerships to really be probably the most uplifting aspect, other than working with the homeowners, but is the most uplifting because of the fact that we're talking about people of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I have appreciated the most about my involvement with MDS is the opportunity to engage people that are very different than me, theologically, mm-hmm. politically. It's been helpful for me to be able to walk into those relationships and live with those people who are different than me that I wouldn't have an opportunity if I stayed within my clan. And so I have found that very enriching. Yeah. Sometimes I'm shocked.
You're shocked, yeah. It's different, right?
It is very different.
Yeah. And sometimes I think people, I don't know if people get... what they're afraid of, they feel like they're going to lose a part of themselves. Do you feel like you lost a part of yourself when you're exposed to these different ways of living, doing things, and theological?
I would even say maybe I found myself.
Okay, all right. Say more about that.
I think the whole thing of learning to know others and listening to their stories and looking at the things that we hold in common rather than the things that separate us.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I grew up among the Amish.
Okay.
And today, I work very closely with the Amish through Mennonite Disaster Service. Mm-hmm. And in getting close to them, again, mm-hmm. even though I have cousins and so forth in Illinois, but in other communities learning to know the Amish, they invite me to their weddings.
Okay.
They've invited us to their youth gatherings.
Okay.
And have invited me to speak.
Oh, wow.
And so the opportunity to interact and engage each other and learn more about each other has been very enriching.
Yeah.
Methodists have invited me in to talk about what makes Mennonites and Amish respond in service the way we do. Because they don't experience the same thing. But they love us being there, and they host us very generously.
Okay.
And so learning to know them has been very enriching to me.
So Mennonites and Amish, why do we work so well together and serve others but have so much trouble staying together ourselves?
Well, I would say it's because of the fact that we're looking beyond ourselves.
Ooh, okay.
To the needs of those around us.
Okay.
And then we can work side by side.
Okay, I'm all right.
When we begin to look at each other and what separates us or what the differences are, we begin nitpicking, and that's where I go back to a simple theology.
A simple theology. All right, it's interesting. So I'm doing a number of interviews, and I'm not sure what order these go in, but in one episode we talk about this holistic discipleship, and Shannon Dykus is the guest, and she was talking about how we sometimes don't look at each other, like we don't understand the needs of each other.
Right.
And then now you're talking about looking beyond ourselves and looking outwardly at the at the mission and the cause. And I think both of you all are right. I think it just depends on where we are and what point in time we are in our congregations. I think the problem is that if we become too internally focused, we lose a sense of our purpose in the world.
Right.
And then if we're always just looking out at others, sometimes I think we leave other people behind. So I think that's why it's good for us, like you said, to go out and do some things, loving God, you know, loving our neighbor, and and then, you know, loving ourselves, I think, is a part of it too. Yeah.
Well, and it's looking at how do we respond to our neighbors who are in need.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the model of Jesus. Those who are on the margins. And I think we're going to be surprised in heaven when we discover there are a lot of people who will be in heaven that were on the margins.
Like, who let you in here? I can only imagine.
And let me go one step further on that, Glenn. And that is, you know, we have a lot of volunteers that come. And I think it's true for a lot of churches.
Yeah.
That when we reach into the community, we feel as though that we are taking Jesus to those communities.
Yeah.
And I say, absolutely not. While we are the hands and feet of Jesus, the reality is the Spirit of God was at work long before we got there. And we are there for a short period of time. And God is at work long after we leave. And so we are there to genuinely be with the people and to love them.
Okay.
And to care for them.
Right.
And it may provide an opportunity for us to share our faith.
Right.
But we need to recognize the big picture.
Yeah, you are living proof. I mean, the story you told about how having the ability to share your gifts, share love with others, brought people in and really transformed that community. And I think that's what we want to do. That's part of what we talk about in our renewed commitments in Mennonite Church USA, you know, about this transformation.
Yeah.
The transformation comes ultimately from the Holy Spirit, but the things that we do, the work that we do is important in helping to set the environment for that, so people are receptive, and so that they expect transformation to happen.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's what I want to leave with the people, is that we need to look beyond ourselves, but expect for God to show up. Expect for those miracles to happen.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say as we wrap up?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Well, I would say to church leaders. That one of the keys to engaging a congregation is to not simply announce opportunities for service.
Okay.
But rather to take the approach of saying, I am going, who will join me?
Ooh. All right, I like that.
So to me, that becomes an important piece. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the pastor, but someone in the congregation needs to take the responsibility to say, I am going and modeling, but inviting others to join along.
Invite others to join along. Good word. Thank you so much, Phil, for joining me today. Really good insight. I hope people are paying attention to the things that you shared. And I hope that we're able to get out of our kind of navel gazing, get out of our boxes and go out and really be that effective change that the world needs. So thank you so much. Well, as we close, if you want to keep up with the latest and greatest that's happening in Mennonite Church USA, make sure you subscribe to Peace Mail, our weekly email newsletter. Make sure you subscribe at MennoniteUSA.org/peacemail. Also, your financial support matters. Please consider donating to the ongoing work of Mennonite Church USA at MennoniteUSA.org/give. Thank you so much for joining me today.